this last summer, and really challenged. I could take you to the exact points. I often have moments like that. We'll be talking about that in a moment. Really challenged to just to get a move on, really. Just ignore this for a second. This will come in later. Yes, really challenged just to get a move on, really. There's often like there's like a fire inside of me, kind of wanting to discover, wanting to learn more, and it's sometimes just so easy just to tread water. And I just feel very challenged at the moment, just to go for it, really, just to go for it and to push and to see what we can discover together. So let's see what happens this morning. Yeah, hopefully it's not only Aslan who's on the move. Hopefully Stuart Taylor is on the move. Come on. Well, there are moments in our lives, aren't there, where we have to stop. We just have to stop. We have to stop because we've found something or experienced something that has the potential to change everything. Have you had a moment like that? Have you ever had a moment like that? Sometimes they can be quite poignant moments, can't they? Where you're just somewhere and you just know that this is special and this is really defining. And it doesn't happen very often, does it? But when it does happen, it's really important, I think, to pause and to take stock of that, because I think we take a risk if we pass over those moments and just carry on as we were before. Now, it's difficult as it is to believe, this has happened twice, a month ago and a week ago. A month ago, and actually I say a week ago, that would be very tidy, wouldn't it? But it was a week and one day ago. Okay, so we've got to tell the truth, haven't we? So it was a month ago and a week and one day ago. I know, what an exciting life I lead. So let's start with the first one, or the second one, the week and one day ago. I was in the Lake District in Borrowdale with a very good friend. And I was surrounded by these mountains and these lakes. You know Borrowdale? Just up from Keswick. I love Borrowdale. Maybe one of my favorite parts of the lakes. Now, the weather wasn't great, as it often isn't in the Lake District. But I would say it was like ethereal. There was like this mist. It was early in the morning, and there was this mist rising up from the lake and traveling through the valley. And it was deep, and it was transcendent. And I'm going to try not to get emotional here. Because clearly it was a time for connecting with big realities. In fact, have any of you seen the new extension to the Ladore Hotel? Have you seen that? They've got rid of all the cranes now. There's a great big hot tub just outside of that. There's a lot of steam coming out of that as well. I quite fancied that. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. That didn't help the build-up, did it? So the weather wasn't great, and there was this ethereal mist that was passing through the valley, and it was deep. And it was transcendent. And I was with my friend. And I'd like to say we were hand in hand, but we weren't. Because in that place, it's important to share, isn't it? In that place, I discovered, are you ready for this? Waterproof socks. Waterproof. Now, don't give me that weird look, like, what are you talking about? Or whatever just crossed your mind at that moment. Maybe I'm better not to know. Waterproof socks, people. That's a very, very anemic response. I don't feel your passion. I don't feel your empathy. And quite honestly, I don't feel your excitement. And I'm very tempted just to stop. Has anyone here got any waterproof socks? Well, shame on you for not telling me about them. All right. Listen, you clearly had to be there. We were on our bikes, and my foot had actually been totally submerged, and I had this North Face shoe on that's not designed to be waterproof. If water gets in, and it was absolutely drenched, and still had another 8 hours, really, on the mountain and around the mountains, and my feet were soaking. What do you do? So we went into Keswick, and I was there, and my feet were soaking. As we all know, walkers, whatever, unless you're running and you're kind of on the move, you really need to try and keep your feet dry, yeah? Are you with me now? Starting to feel the excitement and the passion, yeah? Well, what do you do? Well, I thought, well, I've got to go out and buy a new pair of shoes. Well, that would be really expensive and stupid, wouldn't it, really? So then my very, very good friend had a brainwave, and he went to the shop next door, and he bought a pair of waterproof socks just like these. So I took off my dripping wet shoes, and I took off my dripping wet socks, and I put on my waterproof socks. And I put back on my wet shoes, and did my feet feel wet for the rest of the day? God, now you're getting it. I'm not telling you, Alan. Because if I tell you, you might tell my wife. They were very, very reasonable. Under the circumstances. Yeah, plastic bags. You can breathe in these socks though, Linda. Come on. Oh, goodness sake. Let me see what I have to work with. Some moments in our lives where we have to stop because we've found something that might just change everything. Well, I said there were two moments, as difficult as that is to believe, after the intensity of that experience. Because the second one, and I don't joke, the second one happened in Penwitham. Ooh, I feel the tension. It's a very special place, Penwitham. I was driving into Penwitham on my way to a physio appointment where I get to pay for someone to stick six needles into my left heel and spin them round a bit. Oof. Anyway, I was listening to this podcast and it was talking about sin. Oh yes, it's a laugh a minute when you're with me. No Radio 2 in my car. And I heard something. And I heard this statement. And in all truthfulness, I had to stop the car. I had to stop the car. Really, I had to stop the car in Penwitham. And I stopped, and I wrote it down, or I typed it in my phone. And the phrase was, the culpable disruption of shalom. The culpable disturbance or disruption of shalom. You know, sometimes we find different ways of talking about the same thing, don't we? Sometimes we find things that I think actually genuinely take us a step forward. Because somehow this phrase and the build-up to this phrase, which I'll try and do for you this morning, instantly resonated with me. So much so that I had to stop the car, and it's been with me ever since. Are you still with me? I've not got a long sermon this morning. It's quite short. But hopefully something to take away. Okay, here we go. We believe that God has put this world together, yes? However that happened, we're not going to discuss that right now. There's an order. There's a plan. I mean, come on, if you throw a handful of Lego at a wall, it doesn't make a pirate ship, does it? No? If you throw a handful of Lego at a wall, it doesn't make a pirate ship. Yeah? It's not random. There's a plan. There's a purpose. It takes a lot of faith to believe if you can throw a pile of Lego at a wall and it to create that kind of order. There's an intentionality. There's a purpose. And it was very, very, very good. Very good. And we can still feel this goodness, can't we? I'd like to use the word, it's not a technical word, I'd like to use the word hum. There's like a hum in this world, isn't there? We've all felt it. And I'd like to suggest this morning that that hum is peace. And I had no idea that that was what the theme was this morning. Shame on me for not doing my research. But that hum, I would argue, is shalom. Is shalom. And it's peace. And I think we've all felt those moments, aren't we? Maybe like I joked, but maybe genuinely that moment in the lakes when the mist descends. Maybe that moment, maybe where you're walking with a good friend or your partner, or your children, you're walking around a lake and it's... Have you heard that hum? Have you felt that hum? Maybe that moment when you hold that newborn baby. with hiccups. That was perfect. Maybe that moment when you're about to start a 15-mile run and you're 10 miles in and the first light breaks. You have to take my word for that one. Maybe that moment when you get that little piece of kindness from someone that was totally unexpected. There's that hum, isn't there, in this world? There's that peace in this world. Shalom. I was really interested. Was it last week? No, it was 2 weeks ago. We were praying. Where's my mother-in-law? Is she here? There she is. We were praying in the church, and she'd been in hospital for a ridiculous length of time. And when we prayed for Anne, was I the only one to hear the hum in the church at that moment, like, come on, this time for this to stop now? There was a hum here in this community. Now, we believe that hum, a very technical word, was created by God. And humanity, and it's kind of in the image of God, and humanity are given the task of being image bearers. Do you like learning new words? It's kind of a new word, but not really, when I look at how we pronounce it. And the word is icon, which is very closely related to the word that we know, icon. An icon is to be an image bearer. To be an image bearer. And we know from the Bible that we are given the job of being image bearers. We are image bearers of God. And I would argue to look after and breathe this shalom. Now in Jewish thought, or some Jewish thought, there is the understanding that operates on four different levels. That relationship of shalom for each one of us here this morning. You have that relationship with God. You have that relationship with yourself. You have that relationship with creation. And you have the relationship with other people around you. And there is this shalom that functions in those relationships. But as we know, this shalom is disrupted, isn't it? It's distorted. You only have to turn the television on for 2 minutes. And you can see, and that's watching who I'm a celebrity. You know, this hum is disrupted. It's been distorted. There's a loss of balance. There's a loss of shalom in our world. I quote unquote, there's a vandalism of a great reality, like a great intruder to shalom. And we see this all the time and feel this all the time. But God hasn't given up on this shalom, has he? He hasn't given up on this shalom. There is, I believe, a restorative process in our world today. Where that hum still exists. We know it exists because we've heard it. And it's our job to be image bearers here. And we get to play a part in that as icons. And even better than that, we have the death of Christ and the resurrection to empower us. You know, I was thinking about this last week. I don't know about you. Maybe it is just me. I doubt it. I do go to some dark places sometimes in my mind. Where I perhaps struggle with something that's happened or something. But you know, what do you do at that point? Do you stay there and perhaps allow that relationship to be broken forever or forever, how long? Or do you come back from the dead, back to life? I don't know about you, but I'm making that journey all the time. And maybe that is one of the main powers of the death and resurrection of Jesus, that we now have the power to ourselves come from those dead places and bring ourselves back into those places where we know that we're alive in our relationships. To restore the shalom. Culpable disruption of shalom is where we don't pull it back, that we fail to do our jobs as image bearers. And it's not just the things we do, but the things we don't do. And on this podcast, it was saying that this is sin. This is sin. And we're culpable because we are responsible. Now, of course, there's all kinds of incidences where we have no control over the loss of shalom. When you turn on the news and you see some stuff, often natural stuff, we can't change those things. But certainly in my life, if I think about those four relationships, I've got plenty of work to do on those without focusing too much on all this other big stuff as somehow maybe even a get-out clause that nothing can improve. I've got plenty of work to do. Those four relationships with God, with each other, with ourselves, with creation. On a daily basis, I get to choose in those four relationships, shalom or not, peace or not? Now, there's lots of verses in the Bible that I could pick out to talk about peace. But how about this story? Look at the story of Zacchaeus. He entered Jericho and was passing through, this is Jesus, and behold, there was a rich man called Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed into a sycamore, and it said synagogue, sycamore tree, to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he's also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. You know, when you look at that through the glasses of those relationships, you can see it, can't you? For Zacchaeus, it wasn't like, whoa, I'm saved now, I'm all right. There was that sense of needing to restore, wasn't there, in his life, in his world, the things that had gone wrong. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom within ourselves. You know, it's so easy, isn't it, to smile on the outside and inside to be chewing over all kinds of stuff. I wonder if this morning you're chewing over stuff, whether you realize it or not. Because all kinds of things are thrown at us, aren't they? All kinds of things are thrown at us. We can become, I would use the term, very passive-aggressive. We kind of seem all very nice and happy, but actually deep down, we're actually quite cross. Confession time. I don't know about you, but I have moments in my life where this can often come out at sometimes more than other times, and I don't know why it is, but somehow it's when I'm mowing my lawn. When I'm mowing my lawn, you would have thought, I mean, I, as much as anybody, love the smell of fresh cut grass and seeing a lawn cut fresh, but somehow when I start to mow my lawn, oh, I can't believe they said that. Do you ever do this? Not when you're mowing the lawn, I mean generally. Yeah. Work with me, Pete. Don't take these things too literally, come on. Listen, when you're stood in the shower or when you're cutting the lawn or when you're driving your car and you get those thoughts, what do? Shalom. Shalom. Say it to yourself. Shalom. Shalom. Yeah, but shalom. Shalom. But they did shalom. Listen, this morning, don't answer this question to me or to anyone else because it's very personal. But how is your shalom? How is your shalom in terms of your relationship with yourself? I'll leave the lawnmower there for a second. None of you are going to come close to me now, are you, when I'm cutting the lawn? How's your shalom with each other? I heard the other day this question, if given a situation, do you choose to be kind or right? In a situation, do you choose to be kind or right? Now, if you'd asked me that 20 years ago, I would have said right every time. I'm not so sure these days. Maybe because I have a sneaky suspicion that my best right is not even close to how good it could be. I'm struck by the amount of times Jesus somehow is able to be kind to people rather than necessarily right. What about creation? What about creation? You know, when you see those images, and I'm as bad as the next person, so I'm not preaching at you or anything here, I'm just the same as everyone else, but when you see that ocean with all those plastic bottles floating in the ocean and those whales or dolphins or whatever with the plastic choking them, or can you hear the hum there? See, this is what I like about this concept of sin. I feel like it's so much broader. So maybe I do need to stop buying plastic water bottles and plastic bags. And maybe that is just as sinful as saying an unkind word to the person next to you. Because it's a culpable disruption of shalom. You have chosen to buy those bottles or those bags. And that potentially is going to... Listen, I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty here, because I do it all the time. Well, less. Buy a bottle. Buy a nice bottle. And you want to keep it. The culpable disturbance of shalom. So let's close this now. So why stop the car in Penwitham? Firstly, I like the focus. Sometimes you hear things and you forget them, but I thought, hold on a minute, these four relationships, I can focus on these. I feel like it can guide me on a daily basis. It almost feels like everything I do, either it is or it isn't. Either I am bringing shalom into that situation or I'm not. It either is or it isn't. You know, when I was growing up, as a young child, there's a lot of talk about being saved. Are you saved in the context of the church? Are you saved? Are you saved? I remember someone walking into the office, just walked in and from a church, and he says, are you saved? Are you saved? He didn't even ask me what I was saved from or who or what. I don't know whether he was asking if I was saved from the Conservative government or what. I don't know. Are you saved? I kind of get that. I want to take hold of that and transcend beyond it, because if that is our focus, then that is narcissism gone crazy. If all we're doing is saving ourselves. It has to be for a purpose, doesn't it? We have to be saved for a purpose, not just to save our own asses. Excuse me. Yeah? For these four relationships, what if everybody proactively tried to keep the shalom in these relationships? Now that's a good reason to get saved, because somehow we're trying to save all these other things too. I find this way of talking about sin interesting as well. We often talk about original sin, somehow there in the beginning. It's endemic, it's systemic. Maybe the danger of that thinking, and this isn't, I'm not throwing it out, because we seek to include and then transcend, don't we? We want to take what we know and then learn something more. But maybe the danger of a total focus on that is that we feel completely powerless, the point where we lose any focus or perspective or any empowerment. You keep telling people how completely broken they are, well, there's just no point in me even trying. If I'm sick and I can't get better, we are made in the image of God, aren't we? We are icons, yes? We are icons. Let's keep that sense of icon, the culpable disruption of shalom. So we might call this unoriginal sin, because actually we are responsible for what we do, what we say. We're disrupting something good and harmonious. I think we need to take unoriginal sin very seriously. And I like the practical focus. I like the thinking. I like the positivity of it as well. As Rebecca said to me the other day, my wife, she said, when I was talking to her about this, poor girl, I was talking about this, she said, I like that, because she said, I don't need to just be thinking about the culpable disturbance or disruption of shalom. She can be thinking, how am I contributing to this shalom? Yeah? So it's not just a negative thing, but literally in your relationships with people or talking to people or what we buy at booths or whatever, it's not only what we're not doing, but what we are doing. That we are icons, that we are image bearers, that we are humming with the tune, the hum. So, you still with me? Something to think about over Christmas, maybe? Advent, peace. I'd like to say it was planned, but it wasn't. Listen, shalom. Christmas can be the time where there's least shalom, can't it? It can be so frantic and crazy. Let's over Christmas just think about that shalom. Just in those tiny interactions out there in the foyer, at work, at wherever, let's just think about how we are maintaining those four relationships of shalom. And when in a moment, we're going to come and take communion. And maybe this is an opportunity just to come to the front and just bring yourself to the front and just say shalom. Shalom. God, I need you. I need the power of your death and resurrection, because without that, I'm struggle to keep pulling it back so that these relationships can all function on a healthy level. Naomi, it's so good to have you here with us this morning. I was going to give you a nod, wasn't I, when it was time to sing. This is the nod. Naomi's going to come and sing for us, which would just be great. Naomi's got a beautiful voice. And while that's happening, maybe the stewards could go and invite YPC to come back, and then we'll take communion together. So. Joshua, is he out?